Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Having moved from Malachi chapter 1 into chapter 2, we are confronted immediately with God's pronouncement of judgment upon his disobedient people. The first chapter laid out some of the charges. Two specific ones: the charge of failing to acknowledge and return God's love on the one hand, and the failing to give him honor and respect on the other hand. And the second one was given in greater detail. There was much more elaboration on that second charge than there was on the first one. So we're not sure in detail what it was that Israel was not doing to indicate their acknowledgement and return, reciprocation, I guess I should say, of God's love. But it's clear that they weren't. They didn't even acknowledge that God did show them any special love. But in the second case, dishonoring God's name and failing to give him the reverence and respect that was due unto him, there are a lot of examples laid out, and most of them have to do with various aspects of worship. Improper worship, defective worship, disobedient worship, polluted worship, bringing unsatisfactory animals to be worshiped, but also attitudes and words relating to worship. There was a lot involved here, and all of this pointed to a people who were disrespecting their God. That seems almost incredible. This is the God that you say that you worship, but you don't respect him. Why do you even claim to worship him? Why do you even pretend to worship him? You know, even pagan people who worship false gods will generally show their God respect. It's a deceitful respect, in a sense, or maybe I should say it is a self-deceived respect, because they are respecting something that is not true. But even pagan people who worship a false god will generally give respect to the God that they worship, and if they're not willing to give that God respect, then they probably will stop worshiping it. They'll find another God to worship, one that they can respect. So you see, this is more serious than it might appear on the surface. For God's people to not respect Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, means that what they're saying is that they would rather have another God to worship. Of course, that's what they had done throughout their history before the Babylonian captivity. They had continually turned to the idols of the nations around them and worshiped them instead or in addition to God. They seem to have been cured from overt idolatry with the Babylonian captivity, but their attitudes haven't changed. Their disrespect of the one true God indicates that they would prefer to worship a different God. And they would prefer to worship their gods in a different way. And so these are serious matters. And God is doing them a favor to confront them through the prophet Malachi and to call them to repentance. Well, we will continue our study of chapter 2 on this Wednesday, October 9. Thank you for joining us. And please don't forget that we can only do this as God's people help us financially. Well, the judgment of chapter 2 is directed specifically and narrowly toward the priests. Verse 1 says, "And now, O priest, this commandment, this word of judgment is for you." The priests, they are held more responsible for the spiritual decline in the nation of Israel than the population as a whole. Everybody's guilty. When I say everybody, there were some exceptions, some individuals who were remaining true to God, and we'll be introduced to them later in the book. But as a whole, the nation was very defective, and we might even say was showing signs of apostasy, which means departure from God. Everybody, nearly everybody, was guilty of this, but the priests were the leaders. The priests were the main culprits. The priests were the influencers, and therefore the priests have the judgment directed to them. "Now, O priests, this commandment is for you." And God spells out two reasons for the judgment that he's going to bring upon the priest. Reason number one, failure to heed God's word, and reason number two, failure to honor God's name. Sounds familiar. But verse 2, "If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart." If you will not hear, that is, hear the word of God, hear the word of God's prophet Malachi, who's coming to you. If you will not hear God's word receptively so that you obey it, then I will send a curse upon you. So failure to hear God's word and failure to honor God's way, name. If you will not give glory to my name is the language here. If you will not hear, that's number one. If you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, that's number two. And they go closely together. To fail to heed God's word or to hear it means to disobey it. And to disobey God is to dishonor him. If you obey God, you are honoring him. In some ways, it's as simple as that. Now, that has a lot of different aspects that need to be explored, but if you are gladly, willingly, cheerfully submissive to God's word and obedient to what he tells you to do, and you are endeavoring to carry it out, you are honoring God. And conversely, if you are not obedient to God's word, no matter what you say about worshiping God, honoring God, reverencing God, you're not. Because if you were, you would be obedient to what he says. Disobedient service is not true service. Remember, this is being directed to the priests, and the priests were still on duty. They were still in the temple. They were still offering the sacrifices, though blemished animals that they never should have approved for sacrifice. They were still going through the motions, but their heart was not in it, and they were not being obedient to the word of God in regard to the sacrifices and what animals qualified for them. And disobedient service is not genuine service. Obedience is the only response to God's word that gives him honor. Obedience is the only appropriate response of a creature to his creator. And so disobedience dishonors God's name. Disobedience equals disrespect. Disobedience equals rebellion. Disobedience equals unwillingness to serve God, even though they were going through the motions, and therefore they were offering feigned, that is, hypocritical service. It's not that they weren't doing anything, but what they were doing was not in accordance with God's word, and so it is actually demonstrating an unwillingness to serve God. If your heart is willing to serve God, then you're going to serve him according to his word, what he tells you he wants. That's what service is. What do you think of an employee, who collects his paycheck but regularly disregards what his supervisor tells him to do, ignores it, disobeys it, goes his own way, does his own thing, ignores the instructions that are given to him? All the while, he's purporting to be working for this person, but actually, he's not. He's not serving him. He's collecting a paycheck while he's actually undermining him. Disobeying him is undermining him. Well, that's the same thing here. How can you claim to serve God if you're not willing to obey God? Those two things don't go together. That's impossible. You can't serve God. A servant is one who hears the instructions of his master and carries them out. That's the very heart of service. So if you're not willing to hear the instructions of your master and carry them out, you are not serving him, whatever you may call it, whatever he may call it, whatever others may call it. You're not serving him. And if you're not hearing the instructions of God and carrying them out, you're not serving God. And that's the reason for judgment. What's the reason? Failure to heed God's word, failure to honor God's name as demonstrated by their disobedient service. So that brings us, thirdly, to the nature of the judgment that God said he would bring. And it is stated generally, first of all, and then it's stated specifically in more detail. But generally, here's what it is. Now this is the last part of verse 2. I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you did not take it to heart. You didn't take my word to heart. You didn't take me seriously. So I will bring a curse. I will send a curse is actually the language. I will send a curse, God says. The word send in the Hebrew has the idea of let loose or hurl. This is pretty serious. God says, I'm going to let loose a curse upon you. I'm going to hurl a curse upon you. This is a genuine curse. It's a serious curse. When we talked about this previously, because, of course, this curse idea came up in chapter 2 as well. Or in chapter 1, rather, as well, and now it comes up again in chapter 2. When God curses somebody, they're in trouble. God's curse is not just so many words. It is God's active opposition against the person that he has cursed, and God is omnipotent. He has all power. You can't win a contest with God. Somebody said, your arm is too short to fight God. Well, that's one way of putting it. You cannot win a contest against God. That's impossible. And so if God is opposed to you, you are doomed. Unless you can reverse that, unless you can change that, unless you can change your attitude toward God and appeal to him to change his attitude toward you, there's no hope. No way you're going to outsmart God. There's no way you're going to overcome God. There's no way you're going to outlast God. If God is against you, you are in serious trouble for time and eternity. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.